All right, so we're going to start in Romans 5. This is some stuff actually that Mary taught on my fellowship on Thursday. So those of you that were there Thursday, it's going to be some of a repeat, some of Jim's version of what Mary taught. So we're going to look at the word peace and a couple concepts about it. Peace is a state of Thayer's definition is a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war, and harmony between people, two people, which is kind of cool. I like the rage. I like the exemption from the rage and havoc of war. That was a very descriptive word of peace. So Romans 5, let's start in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're talking about if we were stuck on a desert island with only two verses, these might be the two you'd have to pick because it pretty much covers the whole gamut. You're justified by faith, by believing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I really want to just take a minute, slow down and listen to this verse. And why don't you, everybody just close your eyes for a minute. I'm going to read it. Close your eyes, take a deep breath. And listen to what the word of God is saying. Okay. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God. You have harmony with God. You have tranquility with God, exemption from the rage of the havoc of war with God. You're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by him that you also have access by believing into this grace, God's grace, wherein we stand. Isn't that incredible? You have peace with God. Everyone in this room has peace with God, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's incredible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. In other parts of Romans, it makes very clear that we were previously enemies of God. But through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, we now have peace with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Or as we learned, it's the gift offering of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the gift offering of God on our behalf. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, or upon, you can read that, upon good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. It's by grace we're saved. It's his gift offering. God presented Jesus Christ as that lamb without blemish and without spot on our behalf to cleanse us from sin, to give us peace with him. All right. Reading on. Now look at this. It says, wherefore remember. And then, you know, wherefore, for that reason, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I want to stop there for a minute because to my knowledge, none of us here have Jewish, truly a Jewish background, right? So if the Lord Jesus, maybe you do. Okay, good. Most of us don't, no. Most of us don't. Either way, at the best, mixed, right? But you think about it, if the Lord Jesus Christ had not yet come, we're a bunch of Gentiles in this room. You realize we would be without Christ. We would be aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. We would have no hope, and we would be without God in this world. That's kind of like upsetting. You know, it gets me upset to think about that. But this group of people here, all of these folks that we're with, we love each other, we're good people. And yet, if Christ hadn't come, this would be our state. And we're asked to remember that because of what God has done. He provided the gift offering, which is his son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf, bringing us peace with him. But look at this, verse 13 is good news. But now in Christ Jesus, you who at one time were far off are made nigh. You're made close by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or that separation, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain, having killed the separation, the enmity, the separation by it. Isn't this cool? So he gave peace between Jew and Gentile, but the reality of this thing, the way in which he brought peace between Jew and Gentile, is bringing both to himself. Reconciling both Jew and Gentile to himself, and so making peace. And it was through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. It was a gift offering given by God on our behalf. Isn't that awesome? So that we would have peace with one another, and because we have peace with God, right? And look around the room. Look around. You can look at each other. No one's going to bite anybody here. Look at each other. We have peace with one another. We have peace with one another because of Jesus Christ, because we've been reconciled to God in one body. We have peace with one another. Isn't that awesome? Harmony, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. We're in a state of tranquility with one another because we're at a state of tranquility with God. And it's not because of something we've done, it's because something he did. Yeah. Oh, where am I at? I don't even know anymore. Thank you. For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall partition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that separation, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain or killed the enmity thereby. And what a neat figure of speech. It was by the cross that our Lord Jesus Christ died, but in that he killed the separation. In verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were close. For through him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, or with the holy ones, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are as one body, Jew and Gentile, all mankind who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because of this one work, we're built together. We're pieces of the same building that God dwells in. Pretty awesome, right? Yeah, and this is a building that God did. I want to bring your attention back to Ephesians 2. You don't have to go there, but it said earlier on in the verse, it said, for by grace you've been saved, right? Through faith. In the ESV, it says, this is not your own doing. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. You know, the sacrifice and all that was done to give us peace with God and peace with one another was not our own doing. It was not our own doing. Go to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians 4. I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I'm going to kind of break this down as we read here. A lot of you know the word vocation means calling, the calling that we have. Paul's saying here that by the Spirit of God, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy, that you walk in balance of that calling wherewith you are called. And then it goes on in verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I want to just kind of define some of these King James English words for you. Lowliness can also be understood as humbleness. Meekness is like gentleness. Long-suffering is patience. And forbearing, that word forbearing can be translated to hold up or to sustain. I like that word, to sustain. It's also to hold oneself up erect and firm. It's like you're holding yourself up, you know, with good posture. And here, look at this. It's beautiful. It says, so we're instructed to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called with in verse 1. And this is how, with all humbleness, gentleness, patience, right? Holding one another up or sustaining one another in love. You know what I love about this? It really stuck out to me is that all this great revelation, and then it's saying walk in balance with it. And then the how is how we treat one another. Isn't that cool? That's the how. Humility one towards another. Gentleness one towards another. Patience one towards another. Holding each other up, sustaining one another in the love of God. And this love of God is that love that was demonstrated to us when Jesus gave his life on the cross. It's a love free of selfish motivation. You understand? And then look at this. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I love this, endeavoring. It's the same word that God uses in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. That word study or put forth a diligent effort, right? What a cool verse that is in Timothy. And we think about it and we do. We put forth a diligent effort to rightly divide God's word. But here it's saying put forth a diligent effort to keep or guard, is that word? Or it's attend to carefully, to attend to it carefully. We're to endeavor to attend to carefully the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, who made peace?
God
made peace, right? I did nothing through Jesus Christ. God made peace through Jesus Christ. I did nothing. He was the gift offering of God on our behalf. It's through him that brought peace with one another by bringing us close to God, giving us peace with him. You understand? And so we're to guard that. We're to attend to that carefully with all diligence, that unity of the Spirit in that bond of peace. Verse 4 then goes on. It says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. And guys, you know, this is incredible just to think, you know, whole body of Christ wide. this thing is huge. You know, in the small aspects of it, the day-to-day life, we experience this within this body here in Pittsburgh, because you can't hang out with the whole world, but we do spend time with each other. We have, there's proximity here. We have ministries that are working together here, and that's a local body, and it's a beautiful thing. But this truth is worldwide, that there's one body, all those who are born again, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope. We're all going to be in the same place when all this is over. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. Pretty awesome. One Lord. We all serve one Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that awesome? And it goes on. There's so much awesome revelation here. I could keep reading, but I'm going to stop there. It's one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling. One Lord. The work that it took to make this one body, one spirit, one hope of our calling was his work, not mine, not yours. We simply guard that unity. Remember, that's that's what it is in this context to walk in balance with the calling that we've been called with. It's with that humbleness, with that gentleness towards one another, patience towards one another, and sustaining one another in the love of God. Go to John, the Gospel of John. This reminds me of this verse, Gospel of John chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. I always love this verse, but in light of some of the stuff, it really sung to me this morning. Verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you." This is our Lord. This is our Lord speaking. He says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Yeah, I thought, what a cool verse, right? Because it's you know, we think a lot about loving even those of like outside the fold. But it is the example of the body of Christ loving one another that shows all people that were his disciples. Isn't that cool? That's pretty awesome. We have peace with God, and thus we have peace with one another. I could go on, but frankly, I ran out of time. So there's so much more to read. I would encourage you to go back and read Ephesians, finish out Ephesians chapter 4, because it's just beautiful how it lists, and it talks about the ministries. It talks about the body of Christ and every joint supplying that which is needed. You know what? Let's read it. Why not? Let's just read it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And then we'll finish out and where I was going to finish out. We've got time. Okay. One God and Father of all, verse 6, who is above all and through all and in all. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And that's Psalm 68, in case you wondered. Drop over down to 11. Verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I love this. It doesn't always show up nicely in the King James, but it's here in verse 12. It's for the perfecting of the saints with a view toward the work of the ministry. In other words, it's not that these five ministries that are listed here are the ones doing all the ministering.
Amen.
You see? So it's for the perfecting of the saints with a view towards the work of the ministry, so that everybody's involved in that work of the ministry, so that everybody gets edified for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Because that's how it works, because everyone members one of another. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember, all this was done by God through Jesus Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth from now on be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I want to remind us back in the beginning of this chapter where that walking worthy of the vocation that we've been called with was with humbleness, gentleness, patience, and sustaining one another in love. And now it's talking about speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. And then it goes on and it talks about in verse 17 and down forward from here, you know, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And you think about how much sense does that make? We just read how all of us here in this room, if Christ hadn't come, would be Gentiles, would be separated from God, would be aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the promises of God. We would be without hope and without God in the world. That's who we would have been. And we're to remember that, in light of the fact that that's not who we are any longer. You see, and by the work that God did through Jesus Christ, he's brought us close to himself. We're now his. We now have peace with God and peace with one another. It makes a lot of sense that we wouldn't walk as those who are aliens, those who are outside the fold, those who don't have peace with God, doesn't it? Right? And then it just gives a nice, beautiful list here of things. Hey, get this stuff out of your life. It's not who you are. You have peace with God. This is not the way that people who have peace with God walk. And I'm not going to avoid it. I'm just not going to read all through that. But go to verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's sweet. Gosh, you think about that. Gosh, I'm in this one body. What am I going to speak? What's going to come out of my mouth? Something that's good to the use of edifying, to minister God's grace to those who are listening. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And then it reminds us again, don't live like the Gentiles live. It's no longer who you are. Go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 13. And I just thought this was a cool benediction here. We'll finish with this. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now look at this. This is not the only place that God is referred to as the God of peace. Isn't that cool? He's the God of peace, of tranquility, of exemption from rage and havoc of war, of the God of harmony. Pretty awesome. The God of peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in the sight, in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.